Welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about bottle shops and the pints and people you find therein. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is a man who, unlike Shirley Manson, is not at all happy when it rains, Matt Prince. Matt, how are you?
Jeff, I would have been a lot better had I been sitting in my backyard with you using the same source with a couple microphones hooked up, you know, still socially distanced, 6 feet apart, but, you know, we saw the forecast, we saw that it was going to rain, and we thought it would be better just to play it safe and remain Zooming socially distanced in our houses.
Unfortunately, Mother Nature is playing games with us, and it's actually quite nice outside right now. But we are going to make do with the best that we can. We've both got baseball on in the background, so, you know, all things considered, it's a pretty good day.
It really is. You know, real baseball, real sports, they count. It's pretty awesome.
So, Matt, last week we talked about the best of summer beers. And we made it clear before making our choices, and then some people might say in making our choices, that we are not experts at ranking beer. But this week we're going to try to do something similar anyway.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. We are not like know-alls of beer. We are just beer fans who like to drink beer and talk about beer. But today, I came to you with this idea like 2 days ago. We are going to try to construct our Mount Rushmore of breweries of the past, the present, and the future. So we're going to just have like a fun little discussion here, Jeff. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm interested to see which breweries we both have on our lists and what breweries maybe I missed or you missed that we were like, that's actually a great brewery that I should have had on my list. So I'm really interested because you and I have similar beer experiences, and I think this will be quite interesting.
Yeah, we're not beer experts, but we play them on a podcast. Yeah. So just to sort of set the parameters, Mount Rushmore of the past, we're talking about sort of well-established breweries that have sort of set the tone in craft beer over the many, many years. In present, we're talking about some well-established breweries that are, you know, doing really well and making trends and following trends really well. And then for the future, we're talking about maybe some really young breweries that have caught on to good trends. They're making great, relevant beer right now, and it looks like there's a lot of growth potential for them.
Yeah, so Jeff, why don't we start off with the past? And I'm really just interested to hear your list because my list kind of came very naturally to me. The first, I thought of four breweries kind of just like that. So I'm really interested to see who landed on your list.
Yeah, so my nominees for the past similarly came very quickly. My nominees are Sierra Nevada, Anchor, Bell's, and Dogfish Head.
Sierra Nevada, Anchor, Bell's, and Dogfish Head. Well, Jeff, I have one of those.
Okay, which?
I have Sierra Nevada.
And I think that makes sense because, you know, we've talked to people on the podcast and off the podcast, and you'll ask somebody what was your first craft beer, and they'll often say Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Exactly, and that's the similar story that that came to my mind when I thought of my breweries the past. You know, everyone says, that's Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. That really was the first hoppy beer I had. That was the first beer that made me be like, whoa, there's other things other than American Light Lager. So I also had Sierra Nevada, and my other three, so we can just throw them all out there and put it out on the table. I had Stone. I had Boston Brewing Company, which produces Sam Adams, and Victory, a local to us. I would assume Stone might have squeaked on your list had it not been for Anchor. They're regionally in the same area. They were kind of coming up, not at the same time. You know, Anchor's been around way longer, but I'd assume that California slot, other than Sierra Nevada, went to Anchor for you.
Yes, Stone very nearly made my list. The reason I didn't go with it is Stone opened in 1996, which is certainly plenty elderly for a brewery, but Sierra Nevada is older than the both of us. It opened in 1980, and Anchor is super old, having opened in 1896.
Yeah, that's old, Jeff. That's really old. It's even older than you, which is Amazing.
We just established that Sierra Nevada is older than me. We don't have to lean into a 130-year-old brewery being older than me.
Well, age jokes are funny, especially because I'm getting older as well. So I got to lean into somebody who's a little older than me. Thanks, Jeff.
Fair enough. Okay. So then let's, I mean, we're chiseling Sierra Nevada into the mountain, right?
Yes, they're in. They're in.
Sierra Nevada's in. I'm going to give you Boston.
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, let's face it. Like the other breweries we're talking about, they skew towards, most of them at least, skew towards the hoppier end of things. Pale ales, ales. But Boston Lager is an institution, just that beer in itself. I mean, many people, that's the first American lager that they drink.
There's also a great argument to be made, even though we're not arguing, because I'm saying we're chiseling it. We're chiseling Boston in. But Sam Oktoberfest is a very early craft beer for a lot of people. So they sort of get started in Boston Lager, which is a little hoppier than your traditional American lager, and then they decide they like Sam Adams as a brewery, and they wind up with the Oktoberfest at a party or something, then all of a sudden that sort of opens the doors for them.
Yeah, that's really the first craft beer I bought was Oktoberfest. My buddies and I in college, it was a tradition every year when we got back to school, we would buy a case of Oktoberfest from Sam Adams, and it was the way we kicked off our year. It was amazing, and I still love that tradition, like looking back on it. I think I might start that tradition with myself again and grab a case of Sam Adams Oktoberfest probably in a couple weeks now. I mean, let's face it, these fall beers come out earlier and earlier, so I'm sure we'll see it sneaking on the shelves in a couple weeks.
Okay, so we've got two spots left, and between them we have to choose between Anchor, Bell's, Dogfish Head, Stone, and Victory.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I will give you Dogfish Head because I almost had them on my list. I mean, Sam Caglione is doing amazing things at that brewery. I mean, the man, I believe he has won a James Beard Award for his work in craft beer, which is pretty ridiculous and awesome. But 60-minute IPA is, we're talking about beers that are institutions. That beer is an institution. I mean, you can't talk about craft beer, you know, in a large scale without mentioning that beer and what he has done with hops. So that's got to be on.
He's also a great advocate for craft beer. You know, they have grown quickly, and I'm going to say responsibly, into a staple in a lot of bottle shops. So, yeah, I mean, they're ever so slightly younger than Stone. They were founded in 95. Also, I think it's nice to have a little bit of West Coast, East Coast thing going on and have good representation from both. So you're going to give me Dogfish Head.
Yes.
And that chills it in. I'm going to pitch hard for Anchor for the last one.
You know, Anchor was not on my list. And this is why. I mean, Anchor's not craft anymore. They sold.
I mean, yeah, but Anchor was craft for 110 or so years before, you know, being sold to an investment group and then being sold to Sapporo, which is the Japanese conglomerate, who themselves have been around since the 1800s. So I do understand your still craft mantra, but we're talking about the past Mount Rushmore. If it were present Mount Rushmore, I'd give you that one, but I'm still pitching it.
Okay. You know, Jeff, I am going to be super nice right now, and I'm going to give you Anchor only because two reasons. One, Anchor Steam, one of like the founding father beers of craft beer, and it never gets the attention it deserves because of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. That right. Beer, Anchor Steam, is like, I mean, it's just, it kind of was craft beer for a while. And I get excited every year when they release their Christmas beer, and I get really excited to see which Christmas tree is going to be on it that year, you know, which style of tree. I'm a nerd like that. I'm Jewish, but I love Christmas. So I will give you Anchor because I love that Christmas ale.
So, I mean, so shout out to Stone, shout out to Victory, shout out to Bell's, all long established breweries that have done great things and have meant a lot to people for a long time in their craft beer journeys.
Yes. I think we did a pretty good job, Jeff.
So we have a pretty good past Mount Rushmore together that consists of Sierra Nevada, Dogfish Head, Boston Brewing Company, and Anchor.
Yep.
And I think those are good anchors for the past.
I do. I do as well.
Moving on to the present, you send out your nominees first this time.
Okay. So my four breweries that I really think exemplify what's happening in craft beer right now are Treehouse Brewing, Hill Farmstead Brewing, Other Half Brewing, and my favorite brewery, Tired Hands.
Our lists are a lot more similar this time.
Okay.
I also have Treehouse. I also have Other Half. I also have Tired Hands.
Beautiful. What's your fourth?
My fourth is Monkish.
Overhill Farmstead. All right, let me hear this.
Okay. I'm mostly just trying to acknowledge that the contemporary beer landscape exists outside of the Northeast.
No, it doesn't. Really?
It does. Yeah. I mean, you picked Pennsylvania, Brooklyn, Massachusetts, and Vermont. That's some solid mid-Atlantic corridor nonsense right there. And they're all great breweries, but I'm just trying to suggest that there is a lot of great beer coming out of the West. And, you know, we could even get smacked right now for the fact that I'm trying to acknowledge it takes place outside of the Northeast, but I'm going back to California, which is where our past breweries came from. There's a lot of, you could even argue to put Bell's in the current because they recently got top beer, in the United States with Two Hearted, but I'm going to suggest Monkish for the fourth.
And Jeff, you've been to Monkish. So to be fair, I've never been there. You've experienced it. You have some, you have a real experience with that brewery. So you've done it. And I understand. I really understand that. So let's just break down these breweries just a little bit because we're talking and it's fun. I'm going to justify my Hill Farmstead choice. To me, what blows me away about Hill Farmstead is they make really fantastic beer. Everything they make is amazing. And it's simple. I mean, there's nothing flashy about Hill Farmstead. I mean, their IPAs and their pale ales, beautiful, hazy, simple ingredients. They're not throwing lactose in everything. They're not throwing fruit puree in everything. They are hopping things, a lot of times singularly hopping things, and they're just doing it perfectly. I mean, they're executing their beer maybe better than any other brewery in the country. Then you go to the fact that they put out some of the most amazing saisons that are being produced. I mean, they might be known for their saisons more than anything. I mean, and it's pretty ridiculous that they can carry on pretty much solely on these saisons, these beautiful pale ales and IPAs, and their wonderful stouts. And it's just a professionalism that you get with their beer. It's a consistency you get with their beer. I always say they're very similar, I think, in how they view themselves and their product and how they respect beer to Tired Hands. I mean, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people when they think Tired Hands, they think milkshake IPA, they think hazy IPA. But Tired Hands does a lot of saisons. You know, they you go to the general store and there's a whole wall of bottled beer.
We certainly mentioned that in the saison episode. I mean, Gene of Tired Hands really respects French and Belgian style beers and does it really well. There's an argument to be made for Hill Farmstead. I mean, they make a lot of really great beer. I mean, I'm looking at right now Rate Beer's top 100 breweries for 2018. So I went back a couple years. And number one is Hill Farmstead.
Right, exactly.
Number two and number three are ones we didn't even mention. Russian River and Trillium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and then there's also number four is one we didn't mention, Cigar City. Number six is one we didn't mention, Alesmith. Then there's Three Floyds. Side Project is in there. Tired Hands is in there at number 13. Number 15 is Toppling Goliath. I mean, there's a lot of great, 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 great present breweries. It's a really hard mountain to decide what to put on there right now.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we both had Treehouse. We both had Other Half. I mean, I think that goes without, those two go without saying. I mean, the IPAs that they both produce are almost flawless. I mean, everything I've had from either of those breweries ends up being the best beer that I'll have that night, maybe that week, maybe that month, maybe that year. I mean, those beers are fantastic. So
how did we forget Maine?
Well, here's I the breweries that I struggled with not putting on were like Maine, Allagash. Those are breweries that I think make fantastic beer. Always solid beer. Maine, to me, their beer is so solid. Like I'm even forgetting about them, and I said that they were underappreciated. Like that,
yeah,
that was the show. Like they are underappreciated, even by me, who said they're underappreciated. So I mean, I think that just proves that I was right with my Maine being underappreciated.
I think you're right. So we're chiseling in Other Half, and we're chiseling in Treehouse, and we're chiseling in Tired Hands. And so, I mean, the argument I'm going to make is, you sort of just said it yourself. Hill Farmstead makes a lot of the same kinds of beers as Tired Hands. And, you know, that isn't necessarily a strike against them in the world. But if we're trying to represent styles of beer, we should consider maybe not having two very similar breweries on there.
You know, but you also made my case for me when you said Rapier had them as the best brewery of 2018. So, like, talk about present and being the best. Where was Monkish ranked on that list?
They are they're at number 97.
Okay, so I think I win, maybe.
Okay, let's say this. What we're going to do is we're going to call this Mount Rushmore Mid-Atlantic.
Okay.
We're going to put this Mount Rushmore, you know, somewhere in Connecticut.
Okay, fair enough.
And then on another day, we'll pick up Mount Rushmore and we'll go put it in Oregon somewhere. And we'll build that from breweries west of the Mississippi.
Jeff, I'm with you. Let's
fair
do
enough.
It. Fair enough.
All right, so your entire list gets on. And 3/4 of my list gets on. So it's okay. Really not too much of a...
Right.
It's not too much of a compromise there. Okay, let's talk future.
I have a feeling, I don't like predicting things. I have a feeling the boxing gloves might come out here because you and I have different beer tastes when it comes to like what's going on right now. I know you're not so much into some of the newer trends, and I might be very much into the newer trends. So I'm very interested. Jeff, you go first.
Okay.
Who's in your future Mount Rushmore? When there's flying cars... And time machines. What breweries will be on the Mount Rushmore, Jeff?
I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you three to start.
Cool.
Foam, Fermentary Form, and Vitamin C.
Okay.
And I think I sort of played into you a little bit with those choices because, I mean, certainly Fermentary Form makes beers that are way more suited to you than to me, but I can acknowledge that they make beers that are on trend. I also did a little bit of research and like, you know, the top breweries to follow 2020, they were on there. I sort of almost didn't go with them because they're very local to you and I, but not necessarily to our listeners. But I think they're, you know, the way they play with funk and the way they play with fermentation, I think really, really plays into what beer is doing right now and what beer will be doing for a couple of years. So that's why I picked Fermentary Form. And then Foam and Vitamin C both make terrific hazy IPAs, which is what is super popular and seems like it's not going away anytime soon.
I like that list, Jeff. I'm going to come back. I have all four of mine. I have all four of mine and I went in a slightly different direction than you. I went with Great Notion from Portland, Oregon. I went with Ouzel Finch down in Virginia. I went with Suarez Family, and I went with Hudson Valley. And here's the deal with those breweries. So the first one that I mentioned was Great Notion. And the thing about Great Notion is they are already kind of one of the, you know, along with Monkish, one of the big kings of the West Coast out there in Portland, Oregon. They're pumping out some amazing hazy IPAs, but they also pump out great pastry stouts. And that's something that has been on the rise for a bit now, but I see taking off. That intersection between culinary and the beer world is something that a lot of breweries are really playing with. You know, we talked about Tired Hands, milkshake IPAs, that the fruit purees that they use. This, the pastry stouts are, you know, usually think pastry stout, brownies, cookies, cake. What Great Notion is doing is like pancakes and muffins, blueberry muffin. Their blueberry muffin stout is big time popular. It's sought after on in trading forums. So that's why they made my list. Hudson Valley Brewing, they have cornered the market on the sour IPA. And if you look on Untappd, those sour IPAs are rated so high. I mean, we're talking the 4.4s across the board. Ouzel Finch is a brewery that is pumping out as kind of like their main thing, Berliner Weisses.
Now, Berliner Weiss is a sour German wheat ale?
I think so, Jeff. Okay. I think it is a sour German wheat ale. And sometimes it says it on the can. But they have this fun little marketing campaign. They have a little character. It's on all their cans. And their head brewer is a female. And I don't want to call female brewers a trend. It's definitely not a trend. But I'm hoping that there's more representation from females in the future. And the last brewery I have on my list is Suarez Family. And it, you know, why Suarez? Because they are pumping out craft pilsners more than anybody else. And I know that that's been like a trend in the last few years, that pilsners are coming back, lagers are coming back. But I see that growing. I see that growing even further. And they do it the best. They're Palatine Pilsner, Qualified Pilsner. So I think that my list speaks for itself after I speak for it.
I think that the Great Notion is really a great notion of yours. It's a good pick because I hadn't even considered pastry stout as a style on the rise, but it really is. I've only really had exposure to it through Levante in our area. They've started making some pastry stouts. And I don't know, do you want to call the creme brulee stout from Southern Tier a pastry stout? It's a dessert stout, but yeah, it may have been a bridge. It may have been a bridge to get us to where we are
today. I'm not going full pastry stout there.
But that's an interesting style. So I'll give you that one. I'll give you Great Notion. Let's put it on.
Awesome.
Let's put it on the list. I'm not sure I can let you get away with two breweries from the Hudson Valley. I mean, I liked that you went all the way to the West Coast to get one of yours.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So,
well, if I had to pick one, I would definitely pick Hudson Valley. And I love Suarez. I love what they're doing. But I think the sour IPA is something that I think is the thing I like about it is that you can do it in many ways. You can barrel age an IPA to get the funkiness. You can fooder tank it. You can kettle sour it. So they do the kettle sour, and they use raw wheat in all their sour IPAs. And they are. I just think that style is gonna grow and grow and grow because it's two really trendy styles: the fruited sour and the hazy IPA, and they're intermingling. They're, you know, cross pollinating.
Okay. All right. So let's put Hudson Valley on there.
Great.
So, all right. So we've got Chisel It In, we've got Great Notion, and we've got Hudson Valley.
And I have two that I'm going to give you, Jeff. I love Foam. I've been to Foam, but I can't put Foam on the list. And I love Foam, but I think they are doing some things that are great now, and they'll continue to be great, but I don't think they're as forward thinking as some of the other breweries on your list. I got to give you Vitamin C. And I'm going to give you Vitamin C because their IPAs are very distinct. And what I appreciate about them is that they like to collaborate. I think collaborating is only going to grow.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
I think especially once coronavirus is over, you're going to see breweries wanting to get together, wanting to create. Imagine, like, think about if the two best musicians got together and recorded a song. Like, think of, you know, just think of two like amazing, great musicians of a time. And sometimes they do this, but like brewers love to get together. They love to create something amazing. And I think that Vitamin C, really, they do a lot of collaboration. They've collaborated with Humble C. They've collaborated with Other half, they collaborate with a ton of different breweries that are also on the cusp of are already doing great things.
So that's why I sort of picked them when we were coming up with the list. When you told me about the concept, I was drinking a vitamin C, and I was reading about vitamin C, and the collaborations really stood out to me. I think you're right. The collaboration is going to be an even bigger thing, because if you look at what happened with All Together, and if you look what happened with Black is Beautiful, you know, breweries around the country are finding ways to collaborate. Now, they're not always coming out with the exact same beer across the names of those things. All Together, Black is Beautiful were kind of banner names for different kinds of beers, but there's a lot of collaborations within those banners, and it's really exciting. And so you're giving me that, and are you giving me Fermentary Form?
I am, and the reason why I'm doing this is because Fermentary Form is not a brewery. And I like the representation of a fermentary on our Mount Rushmore. And for the listeners who are unaware, who are not familiar with Fermentary Form, they receive wort from other breweries, and they stick this wort in barrels with their own house cultures. If you go into their space, which is down a really undescript alley in Fishtown, or Old Kensington, or New Kensington, in that area in Philadelphia.
North Philly.
Yeah, there's just a green light that tells you you're there. And you walk in, and they call themselves an urban farmhouse brewery, but they just take wort from other breweries, and they ferment it in weird ways. And all their beers are bottled, and they have like a couple on tap, but you can either get one of the two on tap, or you can get a bottle and share it there. It's an experience. You need to go there to really appreciate it. I think that, and I hope that there are more breweries like that that open in the future, where they're small and they're not interested in distributing. They're interested in just serving the drinkers who are there, and you have to go there to understand. So I like that choice.
So that sort of closes out our formal Mount Rushmore with Fermentary Form, Vitamin C, Hudson Valley, and Great Notion. But I want to take a second to talk about your Ouzelfinch pick, and also talk about the blank that I left when I said I only had three. The blank that I left there was for people like our friends at Two Locals, and people like some really great guys I met on a trip out to California. I was in Burbank and had beer at a great place called Brewyard Beer Company. It is a minority-owned brewery, and they make California common style beers, sort of going all the way back to my original pick of Anchor. And so, you know, there's another Mount Rushmore waiting to be made. You know, we sort of had, I think what we did was we had the past, the present, and the near future. If there's a little bit further out future, I think you're going to see places like Ouzelfinch, and you're going to see places like Two Locals and Brewyard. And if it's not those three exactly, it's going to be places like them, where it's people from underrepresented communities within the beer industry stepping up and, you know, making their voices and their style heard and giving people an opportunity to taste perhaps new kinds of beer or just beer brewed differently.
Yeah, I love that concept. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Weathered Souls, because a brewery out of Texas, they're the brewery that started Black is Beautiful. That's another brewery that we could throw out there as like a little bit further down the line. Of course, they're already rocking it. But more representation from people of color, more representation from female brewers, female owned breweries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Could not agree more. And, you know, I hope that, screw it, I was going to say 5 years down the road. I hope that 7 months down the road, we're talking about, you know, more and more places like that, that have opened up, and hopefully also, you know, doing it in person and being able to go to these breweries and support them.
Oh, please, 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 please.
So I guess that really does it. So we've got the past, we've got the present, we've got the future, and we've got space to grow.
Well, yeah, and that's the exciting thing about craft beer is that, you know, who knows, in 2 months a brewery could open and be the next big thing, and we have to come back and revisit this episode, and we're like, oh my God, we have to put on so-and-so because they're the thing now. And but that's the best part, is that there's always something new to drink. There's always somewhere new to go.
And if those things happen, you'll certainly hear it from us. You can follow us to hear those kinds of things on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. You can visit us at shelfiepodcast.com, where you can listen to full episodes and leave comments for us about, you know, tell us what your Mount Rushmore of any era of beer is. Tell us what your Mount Rushmore of Michigan beer is, because I just sort of really want to get bells on a mountain somewhere. You can subscribe to Dick a Shelfie wherever you get podcasts. And while you're subscribing, please go ahead and leave us a really great review. I cannot stress how important that is to getting the word out about our podcast. In the meantime, Matt and I have some baseball to watch. So until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.